So good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. Today we're going to be looking at Titus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 and 12. But before we do that, we're going to commit our time to the Lord. Let's pray. Glorious Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you again that we can come into your presence. We thank you that that access has been given to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to go to the death, to his death on the cross, and to pay the penalty of our sin. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that as we have this access, that you would be pleased to work in our lives and by your Spirit to change and transform us. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let me read to you then Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age. So it's quite possible, as we have been working our way through this book of Titus, that you've been struggling with the demands for godliness that seem to dominate the first half of this book. Maybe you've ruled yourself out of church leadership. As you've thought about these things, you think, well, I can't attain to that kind of life. Or maybe it is that you've even, as you've looked about the different sections on the different things that men and women should be involved in, and even the life of a slave, one that should give themselves over to righteousness, those kind of things, all of them have added up, and you simply think that it's beyond you to be able to live in these ways. As you look in your life, you can see that you're more prone to sin than you are to righteousness. The temptation comes then, when you feel like that, to write yourself off and to kind of exalt others to that place of super Christian. You know, they really are godly people, and well, I'm just a normal Joe, as it were. And, you know, I'm simply not made that way. We can fall into that kind of a trap if we're not careful as we go through this book. Well, Paul writes these two verses that we're looking at this morning to smash that kind of thinking into the oblivion that it deserves. Really, that's a nonsense thought for anyone who is a Christian. They need to understand that, God is the one that will help us through. Something has happened, Paul tells Titus, that means that we can be godly, that we can be rescued from being slaves to sin. And that something was the coming of Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. Now, Paul is, in a very concise way, he points us to look to Jesus. When he came, his plan was to bring the grace of God. And his plan was to destroy sin's grip on our lives by taking away its hold on us. So that's what we need to be understanding as we're coming to these verses, that there is a way that we can live righteous, the way that we can live holy in this life. And so we need to bear that in mind. Now, he comes. This is Christ. He comes and lives amongst us, and he does so without falling into any of the sin that we are prone to. Not that he wasn't tempted, because he certainly was, but instead he chose to trust his Father in everything, and that's where we fail, isn't it? Where Jesus succeeded is where we fail. We don't trust God in everything, and so we fall into sin. Well, he dies a death. Christ dies a death in the place of guilty sinners, bearing their sin. And bearing our sin, so that in punishing him, sin would no longer have a hold or be able to demand the payment of death, which is the wages of sin. Now, the chains of sin that so easily ensnare us have been smashed, have been done away with and destroyed by Christ. Faith in him is the answer to our struggle. So if we're struggling to live a godly life, then we need to come back to this understanding that our faith needs to be in Christ, as it was right back in the beginning. In the same way that you acknowledged sin and repented of it and came to Jesus for the cleansing, for his cleansing when you first were saved, we need to be those who continue to do that when we discover subsequent sins in our lives. Now, there is no sin that God is surprised by. He knew all the sins that we would ever commit. And when Christ died on the cross, all of our sins were future sins. But there is a reality in our lives that we become aware of things as we go on. We become acutely aware of some of those sins that we weren't obvious to us when we first trusted Christ, but have come to the surface, as it were, and have been shown to be problems in our lives. And so what we do is when we have we discover those sins, we come back to God and we confess them to him. We come back to him and acknowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ needs to break the power of those chains in our lives as well. The chains of sin that so easily ensnare us need to be dealt with. Jesus is the one who breaks those sin patterns and the chains. And we choose Christ over sin every time, or at least we should do. That's what Galatians is telling us, isn't it? Galatians chapter 2 and verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be attained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So the problem is when we discover in our sin and in our lives, we often try to answer that sin ourselves, don't we? We often try to root it out ourselves. We throw ourselves into trying to live in a better fashion. In other words, we set ourselves laws as though that was going to get us out of the rut that we're in. Well, here is the reality. No law can get us out of the problem that sin has created in our lives. We have to come again to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess that sin. Acknowledge that he is the only one who can rescue us and accept that rescue in that he offers to us. Now, as we choose Christ, so we are empowered to live for him by the Holy Spirit. So as we acknowledge our sin, as we confess it to Christ, so he is the one who breaks the power of that sin and enables us to live a godly and a holy life. Now, I need to be careful. It's not that God does that in a magic way, but what he does is he enables us to look to him for the strength that is required to come out of the rut, to stop falling into the things that we do. And we can trust him for that. Now, notice that this is not for the future. This is for now. That's what these verses are telling us. We are able to take hold of this grace today. No Christian need say, or indeed can say with any truth, that they are unable to live for Christ today. Christ has provided all that we need. In fact, 2 Peter spells that out for us, doesn't it? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us this very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So we have everything that we need. God has given us his word, he's given us his spirit, and as we take a hold or apply the word to our lives and as the Holy Spirit works in us, so we are enabled to escape the corruptions of this world, enabled to move on in our walk with him. And more than that, we're able to experience the divine. We're able to experience God at work in us powerfully. Our excuses for sin deny the grace of God that has been displayed to us and make God out to be a liar. Now, that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? If we make excuses for our sin, then we ignore the grace of God and we make God out to be a liar. It may be then that repentance over attitude or over hardness of heart is where we need to start. Taking our eyes off of ourselves and our abilities and instead fixing them upon Christ will bring about the change that we need. We look to him for everything that we need in this life. So let me ask you a few questions. Will you trust him today for his grace? Will you trust Christ today for the grace that he has to give you? Will you surrender your sin? Are there things in your life that you know that you need to give up? And you've said, well, I can't do it up to this point. Well, maybe now it's the right time to lay it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender it over to him. Will you in faith step out and do what he has called you to do? Or will you today just treat today just as another day in which you rely on your own strength and your own understanding only to fail. Which will it be? Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we think about these things, we ask that you would enable us to confess our sin, to lay that, as it were, at the feet of Jesus and nail it to the cross in that picture in Galatians there. Lord, and having given it up, Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit that you'll enable us to walk in ways which bring honour and glory and praise to the name of Jesus. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.